Good morning, church. It's good to be here. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. I had a good time yesterday with those guys. Learned a lot. Got to see how some real work was done. Brian and I witnessed that, right? It was very good. It was hot, but it's one of those things you start and you think, how will we ever get this done? But then you see how it all comes together when everyone works together, and it was a good day. So I had a good time as well. I missed out on the whole truck issue, but it's starting, Ed, right? So we're good to go there. All right. Well, I saw a picture of some twins the other day. Is anybody in here a twin? No twins? Okay. Dave, yeah, Dave's a twin, that's right. I saw a picture of some twins. They were both wearing a white t-shirt. One of them said, I was a surprise. And the other one said, I was planned. Now, and I wondered how they could tell which one was a surprise and which one was planned. Dave, you might have some insight. We can talk about that later. But I wondered about that. But I have news for us today. Whether you were planned or not by your parents, God says you are here on purpose. Your life has purpose. But so many times we live our lives like we just exist. We just go through the motions, and maybe we feel like we don't really have much of a purpose. There are people here people in the world that are convinced that we're just here by random chance, that we're the product of some random molecules and atoms that collided and formed an ecosystem. And they arranged themselves to create what we have here today. And under that arrangement, our lives would have the same significance as a cockroach or a tree. And what happens to us would have the same level of meaning or non-meaning. So you get up in the morning, you go to school, you graduate, you get a job. You get up in the morning, you go to work. You get married, you have a family, you get up in the morning and you go to work and you buy stuff and you finance it and you pay for it. And you keep getting up in the morning and going to work and doing all these things until one day you don't. You don't get up in the morning anymore. And then just like 10 billion people before you, you're gone. Well, church, I believe there is more to life than that. Do you? I believe there's more to this than all those things. And when you belong to Jesus Christ, one of the greatest promises you have is that you have a purpose that's been designed by God. God made us for a purpose so that we can get up in the morning with a purpose. And what we do and where we go and the things we say and the impact we have has a purpose designed by God. These times we're living in are tough. We're in a very mean society, you might say. And as things get so hostile, it's important for us as God's people to think about our purpose, to focus on why we're here. What are we here to be doing? What is our goal? What purposes does God have for us? For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the book of Mark. Now, I love the book of Mark. Mark is a short book. It's clear, it's concise, it's simple. And like it or not, that's what we need in today's world, right? People in my generation and younger aren't interested in long debates and theorizing and reading long books. They want to know what they need to know. They want to know why they need to know it. And then they want to get busy and do it. Attention spans aren't what they used to be. But that's not a bad thing. Because I think for far too long, we've talked, but maybe we haven't got busy doing the things we need to do. The book of Mark quickly tells us and directly tells us what we need to know as we live our God-given purpose. You know, during the time Mark was here, the world was very hostile toward Christians. And that's the environment Mark was in as he, as inspired by God, wrote these words. And most likely this book was written in Rome during the early stages of the hostility the church faced. What did Christians in Rome need to hear to help them keep their focus? What did they need to know to help them keep their lives on track as Christians? Well, the answers to that are found in the book of Mark. Mark, I think, gave them a quick and an important reminder of their commitment and what this was all about. When early Christians asked themselves, hey, why are we living this way? Why are we going against our culture? Why are we dealing with all these struggles and standing against immorality when it could cost us our lives? Why are we taking stands that are against all the other people we're around? Why aren't we worshiping gods that other people around us are worshiping? When they ask those questions, Mark provides answers. And the answer was, because you are living your life on purpose. A purpose that comes from God. A purpose that goes beyond the things of this world. You're living your life with a purpose based on the life of Jesus. And so are we, church. Do we believe that? We ask ourselves these questions all the time, don't we? Why are we going against our culture? Why does my life always seem to be going against the grain? Why can't I participate in worldly discussions and worldly experiences that my friends are talking about? Why am I different, or why am I set apart? Well, for the next couple of months, we're going to look at this from the book of Mark and answer those questions. We'll see in Mark a look at the life of Jesus to see what real purpose looks like. I want to start with Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Can you imagine being standing there with the whole town at the door while Jesus healed many who had various diseases? Think what that must have looked like. That would have been something to be there for them. We talked about that this morning in class. What it would be like to witness those things. Are you living your life on purpose? I want us to consider three questions this morning from the book of Mark. And the first question is, does my life reflect its purpose? When you look at the book of Mark, and when you look at Jesus through the eyes of Mark, you see actions that Jesus takes that are constantly moving toward his purpose. What was it? What was Jesus' purpose here on earth? We can answer that question many ways. I want us to look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45, which is what Austin read for us. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it, church, as to Jesus' purpose. Mark's gospel focuses on Jesus and his role as a servant. That was his purpose, and it's our purpose to imitate Jesus, right? To follow Jesus, to live out his example. And none of us can be the sacrifice for someone else's sins, right? But every one of us can live the life of a servant. Every one of us can understand that we've been given time and talents and opportunities for the purpose of serving, not to be served. Jesus, who deserved to be served, deserved to be worshipped, said that his purpose here wasn't to be served, but to serve others. His actions worked toward that purpose. And from the very first word, Mark shows us Jesus on the move. Mark doesn't start out his gospel with a long family history. There's not a word in the book of Mark about Jesus' birth. Mark just gets in, and right away, we find Jesus moving toward what would eventually happen to him on that cross. Most importantly, we see that empty tomb. Jesus moved toward his purpose. And right away, we see miracles. We see Peter's mother-in-law. We see that Jesus drove out demons and healed many. Mark writes about 27 miracles Jesus performed. But he gives us the short version, kind of the Cliff's Notes. Y'all remember Cliff's Notes? Those things got me through college, right? The short version. And it says Jesus taught and preached. But all of it was pointed to the cross, because Jesus came, and he came to be that sacrifice. Mark devotes a big chunk of his book to the cross. Jesus came with a goal in mind. Do we have goals? We all have goals we set, right? We teach students and kids to set goals for careers and college. Do we have goals in our Christian life? Jesus came with a goal in mind. He told his disciples in Mark 9, verses 31 and 32, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant. They were afraid to ask him about it. Mark 10, 32 and through 34, "Again he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to him. 'We're going up to Jerusalem,' he said, 'and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise.'" Once Jesus had prepared for his ministry, he carried it out. There wasn't a waiting around period. He didn't spend time trying to find himself like we hear people do today. Mark gets right to the point. Verse 9 of the first chapter, Jesus is getting baptized by John. He's starting his ministry. By verse 12, he's choosing the apostles. Mark shows us Jesus who's living his life on purpose. And his actions demonstrate that. You can't read the book of Mark and wonder whether or not Jesus was working toward his goal, because the actions we read about are constantly moving toward that. And our lives are supposed to do the same thing, church. What about your life says that you understand that you have a purpose and that you're heading toward that God-designed purpose? Ask the question this morning to yourself. What about my life reflects my purpose? And if the answer is, "I don't know," or, "Well, nothing," then it's time to evaluate. It's time to ask God. It's time to seek the answer to that question. Get God's purpose out in front of you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians verse 5 that God has made us for the purpose of living forever in heaven. Think about that, church. That is your purpose as a Christian. A purpose to live forever in heaven. Amen? Amen. That's what it's about. Ephesians 2:10, God has prepared good works in order that we should walk in. Realize that God has a plan for your life and a purpose, whether you were planned or not. Set that in front of you. You know, a wise man once said, "Aim for nothing and you'll be sure to hit it." Y'all heard that before? That's true. If we aim for nothing, we're going to be sure to hit it. Jesus' actions work toward his purpose. Do my actions do that? Our second question this morning is, do I avoid the distractions? Anybody in here ever get distracted? Some of you might be right now, right? I'm getting kind of hungry, to be honest with you. Do you avoid the distractions? Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest in Jesus who's been tempted in every way just as we are. Jesus dealt with distractions. We read about it. Mark chapter 1, verse 34, Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. It wasn't time yet for people to know who Jesus was, and if these demons were allowed to speak, guess what? There'd be some huge distractions. He dealt with distractions. Mark writes in such a way you can almost picture Jesus sometimes running away from the crowds to get off by himself where he could go with his disciples and teach them. Peter rebuked him and said, "No way, Lord, you're not going to go and be killed." And what does Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance, a distraction to me." All throughout his ministry, Jesus dealt with distractions. And so do we as his followers. We deal with distractions all the time. Maybe they come in fears. Maybe they come in being discouraged sometimes. Maybe they come in confusion. You know why we deal with distractions as we try to live our God-given purpose? It's because Satan is there to try to get us off track. He's trying to throw obstacles up in our way, trying to pull us away from living our God-given purpose. In 1942, C.S. Lewis published the Screwtape Letters. Y'all ever heard of those? It's a story or an imaginary visit to the underworld where Uncle Screwtape, who is a seasoned demon, is writing a letter to his demon in training, his nephew, telling him how he can ruin a new Christian. He's been assigned this Christian. And so Uncle Screwtape in the first letter tells his nephew, quit trying to get your patient to argue and think. That is counterproductive, he says. Your man has been accustomed since he was a boy to having a dozen incompatible philosophies bouncing around in his head. By the very act of getting him to argue and think, you are pulling away from our purpose. Even if a particular thought can be twisted to our favor, you will find that you're strengthening your patient in the fatal habit of thinking. Your job is to have him concentrate on the stream of immediate sense experiences. Your business is to fix his attention to that stream and get him to call it real life. And don't let him ask what we mean by real. In short, your job is to distract him. Can you relate to this stream? Do we sometimes get in this stream? I wonder how many times I've had something to do, but I get caught up in the stream and I go somewhere else and I don't do it. This is where the remote control takes us, right? This is where our phones take us. Talking to myself here more than any of you, I can tell you that. This is where the internet takes us. Have you ever gotten on the internet with the purpose of looking up something, but you don't end up there because you go somewhere else? That happens, right? We get distracted. We get caught up in this stream. In Mark, we're reminded how important it is for us to avoid distractions and hindrances. We see practical examples of Jesus and the way he dealt with this. We see in Mark that private time away from the crowds is important. It's important for us to get away by ourselves with God, to get away with our family together so that we can just spend time, to turn the phones off, to turn the TV off. We see that good habits and practices need to fill our lives so the bad habits don't. And we see that people, places, things that hinder us and distract us, those things have to be dealt with and left behind so that we can concentrate on living our purpose in God. We see that example in the book of Mark. And the third question this morning is, do I live my life like I'm on limited time? That's a sobering question. Just let that bounce around your head for a moment. Do I live my life like I'm on limited time? I'm not sure where we're all going, but I know that we're all, most of us, are in a rush. Would you agree with that? If you don't believe that, stand in line somewhere and see how aggravated you get, right? Get in traffic where there's construction and sit there for a while. We tend to rush around for a lot of reasons. A Canadian newspaper wrote the following. Our American visitors are normally welcome here, but occasionally they reveal some odd notions about our country. Charged with driving 74 miles per hour, a Michigan man gave a captivating explanation. He thought that since the Canadian gallon is bigger than the U.S. gallon, miles were probably longer north of the border. So to cover 60 Canadian miles in an hour, he felt his speedometer should show at least 70. The judge clarified this error for him and fined him in Canadian dollars, which are smaller than U.S. dollars. I think that's a pretty good argument. What do you think? We're in a hurry. Lots of people are in a hurry. I guess maybe they feel they're on limited time. But guess what? We are on limited time, right? We are on limited time. Jesus lived his life with a sense of urgency. If you could look at the original text, you would see that in the first chapter, Mark uses the word, the equivalent to immediately, 11 times. And he uses the word immediately 40 times in the book. Jesus had just about 3 to 3.5 years of actual ministry time here. He was on a limited time. And you can see that the Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, and you really get the sense of that urgency. The one who existed before time began, the one who was and is to come, the one who was in heaven before he came here and is back in heaven, he was on a limited time period, the time he was here. Jesus was on this earth about 33 or 33.5 years, and he lived his life with a sense of urgency. I don't get the sense that life's going to move any slower. How about you guys? It seems to just be getting faster and faster. We need to see the urgency in our situation. Challenges are accelerating. The gap between now and when Jesus comes, that's getting smaller. But our lifetime, your and my lifetime, aren't the only ones with a limit. The lives of our neighbors, the lives of our coworkers, the lives of our friends and family, the lives of the homeless people that we pass 7 days, they're all in limited time. Are you living your life with a sense of urgency? You know, Gary talked about this earlier. It's so true. God has charged his church with the responsibility and the privilege to tell the world about Jesus. And the only resource we're promised we'll ever run out of is time. You ever thought about that? The only resource we're ever promised we'll live is time. If you ask Mark, why'd you write such a short book? I bet his answer would be something like, so it wouldn't take you as long to read it, and you'd get out there and do it. We need to live with a sense of urgency as we live our purpose in God. I hope that you'll be challenged this morning to go home and read the book of Mark. Read it from beginning to end. Read it a couple times this week. Read it a few times over these next several weeks as we discuss it. It'll help build your faith. It'll help you as you walk in this life to remember you have a purpose designed by God, a purpose given to you by God. And the world will always keep trying to distract us from that. Mark is the good news about Jesus. And there's no better way for us to learn how to live our lives on purpose than looking at his example. So do your actions work toward a purpose? Do you avoid the distractions that keep you from fulfilling your purpose? And do you work with a sense of urgency? I challenge us today to answer those questions. You know, if you're not a child of God, you have no purpose. You may have purpose here on earth. You might have a great job, good family, great health. Life may be going great, and God bless you if that's the case. But at the end of the day, you have no real purpose. True purpose is only found in Jesus. But you can have that today. Come and be his follower. Come and be baptized into him. Have your sins forgiven. Become a Christian. Live your life on purpose, as we all live until that day God comes to bring us back. If you have a need this morning, we ask you to come now as we stand and